follow the money.
That's what I always say. You always follow the money.
Yeah.
This is Follow the Money with Mitch Moss and Pauly Howard on VSiN.
Top of the morning to you. We are live in downtown Las Vegas from the Circa Resort and Casino. Week zero college football bets with the great Brad Powers coming up in 30 minutes on the program. Some news yesterday in the National Football League. Broncos head coach Sean Payton announced that Bo Nix, the rookie quarterback out of Oregon, will be his week one starter, Pauly, and that now makes it three rookie quarterbacks who will be starting in week number one. So the way that that went throughout the summertime, Stidham was a massive number. Then it crashed when it looked like he had a chance to become the starter. Nix at one point was around even money. He wins that for anybody who was betting him. You cash that ticket once week one comes around here, obviously. Now, it's tough to recall this, but it seems like the Broncos were a last-place team last year, right? Because they were so bad for so long in the defense, allowing the 70 points in the game, and their overall numbers were historically bad for much of the season. They actually finished three games ahead of the Chargers in that division. The Chargers won five games. That was at one of the worst teams in football. Herbert got hurt, obviously, did not go well, and they said, see you later to Brandon Staley. That team won eight games, the Broncos did. They tied with the Raiders for second place in the AFC West. So they're not one of the candidates to go from worst to first this year. And we talk about this on an annual basis because it has been a thing now going back for many, many, many years. And I would tell you that, look, I'm not buying into the Chargers this year. If you are, that's fine. I know others here on the network, they like them. They think maybe they have a chance to win the division. Not worth a bet to me.
I can't get there. Yeah, that to me, that's crazy. I can see playoffs. I can't see overtaking Kansas City.
No, neither can I. You would need something. You have to have a Mahomes injury there. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the two best teams on paper to go worst to first, obviously Cincinnati's one of them. They would be the leading contender to go worst to first. I think the second best team, although I don't like their chances because of the teams ahead of them in their division, would be Chicago. They tied with Minnesota, seven wins last year. I have the win total under nine for Chicago. But also, Green Bay is good, and I'm ultra high in the Lions. What's that going to take? If it takes a Mahomes injury for the Chargers to beat them out in their division, what's it going to take for the Bears to overtake the Lions and the Packers?
Williams is Superman.
He's Mahomes.
Right. He's certainly an upgrade over Fields, and he develops, and he is ready to go from day one. And that defense was so strong last year after the Sweat acquisition, and they lost some close games. But you even saw it in the last game. If they fall behind, if they fell behind last year, they were cooked.
Yeah, they had no chance.
With Fields. And now it's a different... Fields played one good game, and that was the Washington game when Butkus passed away. But you know the weapons that they have and how they upgraded the roster. And I'm high on Waldron as well. I know the fans didn't like the OC, Getsy. But that's what it is. Now, I actually think there's value in the no. One book has it won. DraftKings has Will It Happen, yes, minus 350. That's all Cincinnati. But I could still see Baltimore winning the division, and then you're really in trouble. Patriots, no. Tennessee, no. Chargers, no. Washington, no.
Commanders would be third on my list.
Right. Carolina, Chicago, Arizona. So that's it's going to take a lot for Washington or Chicago to pull this off, and I can't get there with these other teams. So I actually think there's value in betting the no and under one on that prop.
Is DraftKings offering the no?
Oh, yeah.
They are.
So yes, no, yeah.
Okay.
Yes.
Yeah, I would, at this point, just based on history, they're going to put up a minus 350. I would have to look at the no on that.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think we're going to get a surprise team this year. Those teams were just...
I agree.
I mean, Carolina, that division could actually be had potentially, but they're not... I mean, what Bryce Young's going to have to do a 180. He's going to have to turn into Joe Montana.
Yeah. Not happening.
And Canales, that means Canales wins coach of the year.
Yeah. Now, here's why. I've never seen this prop before. How many repeat division winners will we have? Going back last year, four, 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 three, five, four, three, two, three, six.
Okay, six one year. Wow.
It's 3.5. The number is 3.5. How many teams will repeat and win the division? Last year, Buffalo. I don't see it. I can't get there. Baltimore. Going to be tough, but yes, they can do it. Houston. Yes, they're the favorites. Mm-hmm. They should be able to do it. Chiefs, no doubt, they're 250 or higher. Dallas, no way. Detroit, yes. Tampa, don't think so, but could happen. San Francisco, yes. If you go over that, you go Detroit, San Francisco, Houston, Kansas City, that's four there. I'm hardly working. I'm not even working hard. That's four. So I would go over 3.5 there. And it's happened that it's gone over 6 of the last 10 and 3 years in a row.
I would also, I would add on, getting to those four, it's easier said than done.
Uh-huh.
Like, I love the Lions. Is it automatic that they're going to beat out the Packers, per se, in that division? I don't know. And the other one would be Houston. I'm super high on Houston. Yep. But
well, who is it then? Is it, would you go say Jacksonville or more? How would you?
Yeah, it could be Jacksonville or Indy.
Yeah, I think the Indy's aggressive, I think. But
yeah, maybe a little bit.
Yeah.
It could be Jacksonville again because I fall into this category. I was high on Jacksonville last year. A lot of people were. They were 8-3 at one point. They were below 30-1 preseason to win the Super Bowl. Now they're double that this year.
Yeah.
So nobody's buying into the Cowboys. Nobody's buying into Jacksonville at all. I've been super harsh on Trevor Lawrence here in the offseason. I think the contract to give him that much money at this point was a joke. You never had to do that. You were forced and you basically forced that upon yourselves. There's a chance where the kid really pops at one point in his career and takes off and turns into that guy that we've been waiting for since he came out of Clemson.
Yeah, and they were 8-3 till the wheels came off.
Yeah.
So the other thing, I didn't work hard to get the four. Buffalo can do it.
Oh, they can, yeah.
Baltimore can do it.
Yeah.
Yep. Could Tampa repeat?
Okay. Sure, sure.
Stranger things have happened. Here's where I'm at with San Francisco. Well, I like the win total under. They have owned the Rams in Seattle going back. Owned them. And Shanahan has owned McVay, especially ATS.
Yes.
So that's why I can't make the case for someone else winning that division. It's got to be the Niners, even though with the tough schedule, and they still got to 12-5 last year.
I think Purdy would have to really come back to earth. And they have so much great head coach, elite play caller, and just so many weapons on the team. And by the way, it's looking positive now about Trent Williams and also Brandon Ayuk being there at the beginning of the season.
Oh, that changed. Oh, man. I thought for sure he was going to Pittsburgh. Man.
I still can't believe he ruled out and crossed off Cleveland.
Yeah.
If he wanted it both ways, that was maybe your best option.
Right. Got paid and going to a team that looked like a good offense. That was, Pittsburgh or nothing. Pittsburgh or bust for
the
guy.
Right. We got a tweet earlier that some reports in the Bay Area, are suggesting that the Niners might go with their starters the full half against the Raiders on Friday night. And that number, again, flipped. It's a 10.5-point move. Books opened up, Raiders -3.5. They weren't really taking any bets on this, but they just moved it when they saw bettors were trying to make bets on San Francisco. Flipped to the Niners, now laying 7. So if they play for the full first half and the Raiders maybe don't send too many guys out there, that would maybe get me off the total on the under in this game. But I also Purdy wasn't exactly Mr. Hotshot himself the last game. I know that he was pretty much the only guy out there for the team, but it did not go so well for him in the last game for San Francisco. You want to go under Patriots Commanders? Some numbers in the preseason so far. The Pats have averaged 2 yards per play. That was against Philly. And 4.3 yards per play against Carolina. Daniels named the starter for Washington. No reason to play him. Mariota and Hartman, they were ruled out against Miami last week. Will either guy see the time of day in this game? Bad offense for New England, but a pretty good defense. Totals at 34.
Well, we just did this on their last game. There was a huge move on the Patriots, and they lost the game. So here they open a 2.5-point dog. They get up to 5, and now back to 4. And I'm also with you on the under. Both games have stayed under so far, and I take it under Sunday night as well. Good defense. And, again, I like their quarterback rotation, but I don't think Washington will do anything anyways.
I don't think so either.
No.
No, the other game is, you talked about this earlier, I like it as well. The Cowboys, 3.5 against the Chargers. Lance, pretty good. Pretty decent.
Not bad. Yeah, it was the last game. He was, yes.
Accounted for a couple of touchdowns. I like this angle, again, that Adam Burke pointed out. VSiN.com. Read his breakdowns there all the time with the best bets. The angle is the Cowboys have played 2 games in the preseason on the road. They start week 1 on the road against Cleveland. This is the one time they can go out there, have some fun, play in front of the home fans, give them maybe a little bit of a nice explosive display, if you will. This is all narrative-based, obviously.
Well, the Chargers are going to get to 10.
But also, that's exactly right. They've combined for 9 points so far this preseason.
Yeah, good luck. And it's stick again. Oh, boy. It's been ugly. I'm with you. I got Dallas in that one. Colts tonight, 2.5 up to 6.5. They're going to play the starters, and the secondary is going to play deep into the first half. Yeah. Cincinnati has been awful so far in the preseason. They lost 27-3 against the Bears and lost a close game when Burrow played a little bit, but they didn't do much in that game as well, and the backups haven't played well. 0-2 against 1-1, and the Colts loss was 34-30, and the little under money, too, 36.5 down to 34.5, and they're betting. Money came in on the Chiefs as well. This is on NFL Network. The Colts game's on Amazon. 2.5 down to 1, and the total, rightfully so, 35.5 down to 32 after 26-6 under run here in the preseason. And I don't expect many people to play in this one.
If you're Steichen and you hear those comments made by the Bengals players this week, basically calling out Richardson that he can't throw the football, and he's totally one-dimensional, do you dial something up right away in this game and just say, how does that taste?
I don't know if I do that. I think I have a meeting with him about what?
Probably not. It's a reach.
Yeah. Those are interesting comments, though.
Oh, yeah.
And that's alarming.
Three different players.
Yeah.
Would you please throw the ball? Stop running. Another guy's like, he doesn't throw to a receiver. He throws to a spot. That's it. They're basically calling him out for how awful he was in practice this week. Mm-hmm. So,
yeah.
Up next, we'll look at today's Major League Baseball card. A lot of day games, some big pitchers going. And can you believe it? He's no longer favored. We'll tell you who. Give you the details coming up here on VSiN.
Is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Coming up in 15 minutes, Brad Powers, professional sports bettor, dynamite on college football. We'll go over week zero bets, some future bets as well. And you're going to want to hear what Steve Spurrier had to say, his sharp analysis on the SEC this year. There is a big game today, well, several in Major League Baseball. We'll begin here. It's the Reds at the Pirates, and Pittsburgh favored by it. Well, they're $1.48. At several spots today in that range. Why? Paul Skeens goes in a very important start. He did take on and face Cincinnati one time this year. 6 innings, 6 hits, 1 run, 7 Ks. Lodolo was smoked for 8 earned runs over 2 1/3 his last start against KC. But he does have one good start against Pittsburgh on the year. And I'm looking right now at a sports book here in Las Vegas. Paul Skeens is plus 135 to win National League Rookie of the Year. Jackson Merrill as high as minus 175 to win it.
No. Oh, what an overreaction. Oh, wow. We have really we want to move in the last 2 weeks.
You want to bet more on Skeens than today?
Yeah. I think the Pirates are cheap today. I think ballpark will be rocking. And I think, again, he's only had one bad start the whole year. So I like Skeens and the Pirates. And now what happens if he, what if it goes 7 strong and gives up one run?
It'll flip today.
Yeah.
He'll be, I'm guessing if that's the scenario, strikes out 10, he'll be favored at some books, I'm guessing, after the game.
But, Derek Stevens said yesterday, though, Merrill has the benefit that he's out there every day, and he can have the big home run or the big bases-clearing double, whatever it may be.
Sure.
But I agree with our guy Keith Azari that still he thinks Skeens is going to get it, but it is wild to see the movement here and as high as $1.75 now on Merrill. But I like the Pirates today.
Would you go first five because of the shoddy bullpen?
Well, yeah, I guess that makes sense,
too. It's been a
too,
problem but, for so long. I mean,
yeah, all those 20, what are we up to? 24 blown saves. But
yeah. You want to go another lunch bet? Do we have this one already? No, it was will anybody in the National League bet over 300 at the end of the year? We'll have a lunch bet on this one if you want.
Okay.
I'll go Merrill. He wins the award. You can have Skeens. Deal?
Saginaw's Deli.
We'll go somewhere else.
Okay. Okay, how about this big series in Baltimore? Verlander back, but a good job by the Red Sox. They held them down. And Burns against Arrighetti. And here's my thing, though, my takeaway, what I've said the last week. They always say good pitching stops good hitting. It won't this year. And also, I don't trust a lot of these guys who are the so-called aces. And then once you get beyond those guys, let's say the Yankees play the Orioles in the ALCS. It's Burns against Cole. I see runs. Then once you get past that, I see you're going to have to outscore people this year. And I can't wait till October to bet overs, because you can't dare put up, don't you dare put up 7.5s or 7s in these playoff games, because they're all fake aces. There's no one you can really count on. Mm. And then once you get past the first guy, who can you really depend on and count on? And then I'd like to see Burns step up here. But certainly this is a big series with these two teams, although the Seattle keeps losing. So we know the Astros are going to win the division. But it's big for Baltimore and a big stretch here now after this. It kind of, you can put it on cruise control, at least where the schedule gets easy for both the Yankees and the Orioles in September.
Can I ask this question here? How is Corbin Burns and Baltimore possibly laying $1.65 or higher against Houston? The number is outrageous.
You think so?
Are you kidding me?
Oh, you were getting roughed up last time, but...
By the way, this is how crazy baseball is. He was roughed up against who? The White Sox.
Yeah.
Of all teams. Because before that start, Arrighetti had 13 and 12 Ks in the two starts before that. But the White Sox get him last time out. Burns, 3-plus earned runs allowed in 4 of his last 5 starts. Last time out against Boston, great offense. 4 innings, 10 hits. 8 earned runs, 2 home runs, 7 Ks, 3 walks. That is a horrible start. And again, to beat a dead horse, how he is second in the odds board to win the American... That's backwards. This guy has no business being in the conversation to win the American League Cy Young. Right. I have no idea how he's ahead of Emmanuel Clase. Tells you how stupid this stuff can be when it comes to betting awards. No way, no how should he be ahead of him.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, that's neither here nor there. I just think on a numbers play here, his current form, it's the Astros you're talking about. They could very easily win the game. I'm just telling you, $1.66 is way, way mispriced.
How long is this Kimbrel thing going to go on for?
Oh, forever.
Comes right forever. And gives up a run.
Oh, yeah.
You can't pitch this guy. That's another reason why I love all these overs in October. How bad are these bullpens?
All of them, for the most part.
Holmes sucks. Kimbrel sucks. I mean, you can't trust any of these closers
except
either.
For the Guardians, that's it.
Right.
That's the number
just
one team.
Right, that's it.
Again, look at Williams last night for the Brewers, who has had a phenomenal career. Now, I get it. He was injured, you know, late to join the team this season. But just, he could not throw a strike last night. Walk after walk after walk. He walked two guys in. How do you not get him out of the game?
Mm-hmm.
So, anyway, yeah, I think that's number one today.
Well, okay. I like the over in that Oriole game. And we disagree on this one. I think that Padres are cheap. Another good series here. Mets with the big walk-off, as you mentioned. Mets go to San Diego. Cease against Severino. Cease only $1.50. That's a lot of respect for Severino here. And the Padres can hit at home. Took 2 out of 3 from the Twins. That's too much respect here for Severino.
No, we don't disagree. I just want to point out that, you know how we always talk about after a no-hitter, the next time out, the guy is usually fade material? Well, let me point this out with Dylan Cease. So his 3-game stretch from July 13th through the 25th, here were the games. 6 innings, 1 hit, 0 earned runs, 11 Ks. Followed that up by going 7 strong, 1 hit, 10 Ks. Then he threw the no-hitter with 9 Ks. That 3-game stretch is why he dropped to 16-1 to win the National League Cy Young. He was brilliant. You can't get any better than that. Since then, 5 2/3, 3 hits, 6 Ks. There was a game in there at Pittsburgh, doesn't count, rain delay. He only went 1 inning. 5 innings, 6 hits, 5 Ks. 5 2/3, 3 earned, 5 Ks, 5 walks. So that stretch now is 4 games in the rear view mirror. Hasn't been exactly as sharp. They've been getting more hits off the guy, and his strikeout rate has kind of plummeted in the 3 out of the last 4 times he's taken the hill. That's all I'm saying.
All right. What do you want to do?
I don't want to bet against the Padres.
Gotcha, yeah. What do you want to do in the AL Central? Cleveland's throwing Williams today. I think the Yankees can rough him up. Oh. It's cold for the Yankees. The lead right now is 2.5 over both Kansas City and Minnesota. So we don't even know if they're going to hang on here. But I will say, as you touched on yesterday, oh boy, Kansas City scheduled the rest of the way. Phillies, Cleveland, Houston, Cleveland, Minnesota, Yankees, Pittsburgh. What if you get Skeens? Detroit, San Francisco, Atlanta. That's the schedule the rest of the way for the Royals.
Okay, so I was in on this team early. I have them 100-1 to win the American League. I could actually come back right now and bet them at higher than 2-1 to miss the playoffs.
Yeah, they're a big price. Yeah. I don't know if they hang on. The door's right there. The door's open for the Red Sox. That schedule's brutal the rest of the way. And Boston, two out, but they survived that tough stretch they had. And they have another big series coming up, but it kind of eases up in September. But that is brutal for the Royals. Maybe it's the Twins. Maybe it's the Twins that they're able to track them down. But that 7 games against Cleveland coming up head-to-head is going to be enormous.
Well, what's more difficult to wrap your head around? Their schedule, how difficult it is, or the Red Sox bullpen?
Yeah.
By far and away the worst since the All-Star break.
I know.
Brewers are playing at the Cardinals again today. Peralta takes on Michaelis. Peralta, 17 games, 13 starts against the Cardinals, a 5.25 career ERA with a 1.379 whip, 7 appearances at Busch, 0-3, 4.94 ERA, 1.29 whip. But he does have 2 quality starts against the Cardinals this year. Arenado in his career against Peralta. Again, he hit the game-winning Grand Slam last night, 10 for 31, 4 home runs. Contreras and Goldschmidt, 2 home runs apiece off of Peralta. This total is 8.
Should they be $1.25? This is the one where I think the Brewers should be dogs. They were dogs the first 2 games.
You know my feelings about Peralta. I think the Cardinals will get to him.
Yeah, okay. Get up to VSiN.com. Check it out every day. Bookmark it. You got to read Wes Reynolds now with the golf tournament getting underway today. He has 3 plays he likes. Outrights to win the golf. You also have episode 1 of Circa Survivor, which is excellent. The docuseries. Adam Burke on baseball. Steve Mackinnon, preseason football, a couple games as well. And week 0 in college. All the podcasts as well and the betting guides, betting tools and the splits. Check it out. Bookmark it every day. VSiN.com.
I'll point this out too. The kid going for the Braves today. Schwellenbach, since July 21st, 5 starts, 31 innings, 44 Ks, 4 walks. That's 12.77 Ks per 9. Strikeouts by game, 8, 7, 10, 11, and 8. Fried actually stayed under despite going 7 innings last night, but starting pitchers were 4-1 over the K-prop against the Phillies going into that game. His prop tonight is 5.5. Either it's juiced or 6.5 over at plus 125. Kid's been really good. High strikeout right now for several games in a row. Something that you definitely want to monitor on the board tonight.
Are you a Sanchez guy?
He's okay.
Okay. He's great. He was great. It looks like he's good against bad teams, and then when it's a good team, he gets roughed up.
Professional sports bettor Brad Powers on the show next. FSU Georgia point spread has been dropping by the day. Is it time to bet the Seminoles?
This is Follow the Money on VSiN.
Get ready to up your game this football season. Dive into the action with VSiN's college and NFL betting guides. Whether you're gearing up for Week 0 Saturday or Week 1 of the NFL, our expert insight, stats, and predictions, your ultimate playbook for success, 175 VSiN Pro Access through the Super Bowl. All the trends and tips you need to help your bets and stay ahead of the curve, available until the big game. Don't miss out on this great opportunity. VSiN.com/subscribe. Every pick, every host, every guest. 175 through the Super Bowl. VSiN.com/subscribe. Get it now.
I love it. We talk to our next guest every single Thursday during the football season, and it is back, baby. Brad Powers joins the program here on the Progressive Guest Line Professional Sports Bettor. The website is bradpowersports.com. How you doing, pal? You feeling pretty good?
Yeah, I'm ready. I've been waiting for it. Obviously, the time's finally here. And gotta say, guys, this is already our 5th season doing this. Time flies.
Wow. Is that right?
Wow.
Yeah.
Holy smokes.
I'll tell you, I also reading your newsletter, which is incredible. I can't, you're so transparent, and you list every... How many bets did you make this year?
Yeah, I don't have the exact number because I keep betting FCS stuff this week, but it's well over 300, and I expect it to be close to 400 by the time next week kicks off.
When did you notice this year, like nationally, books were posting a lot of stuff that bettors could try to take advantage of?
As early as ever. During the national championship game, that a certain book put out 10, 12 game of the years. So there was that. The win totals were up in February. So, I'll give you a good example. I was betting UCLA under win total when Chip Kelly announced he was going to Ohio State. So these have been up this year, you know, not obviously widely available, but it gets earlier and earlier, which means I got to be ready earlier and earlier. It means that, you know, I don't focus too much on basketball anymore.
Okay. Yes. Did you grab any games of the year at that point, or do you need to let it play out and get as much information as possible, like with all the transfer stuff that goes on now?
No, when I think there's a good bet to be made, I make it. So, I mean, I know people don't want to hear this all, you know, all segment, but I mean, I laid four with the Buckeyes. I mean, you don't have to be Elon Musk to figure out Ohio State -4 against Michigan, what was going to only go up.
Oh, good point. For sure. Mm-hmm. Okay, so then let's get into this then. A game that's on the board this week, the very first game of the year over in Dublin. Talk to us about this crash kind of with the point spread. I mean, it was 13.5 like a week ago. What we're seeing now with FSU dropping down to 10, does it get below 10 anywhere? And what do you think about this line move?
Yeah, it's you know, this is one where I haven't bet side or total, believe it or not. It was kind of no man's land for me. I made Florida State 12. I needed 14 on Georgia Tech to make a bet there. Never really saw that at any point. And, you know, obviously I need to lay 10 with Florida State. And here we are. We got some 10s in the market showing up. Now I'm a little greedy. Will we see, you know, will it go to 9.5? No, I don't think so, widely available. But we might see. You know, if you're watching the screen all the time like I am, maybe it flashes at some point. But I don't agree with it. I think Georgia Tech's a little overrated. I like their coaching staff. I like their offense. But, you know, generally speaking, I you know, obviously they made a bowl game last year, won the bowl game. Then there's a lot of positive momentum with that program. But I go to the fact that that's a program that shouldn't have made a bowl game. Nothing that they did. It was an idiot Mario Cristobal not taking a knee. What's the national perception of Georgia Tech if they're 5-7? Instead of 7-6. On the other side, I think there's a little too much pessimism about Florida State. Obviously, it wasn't a good finish in the bowl game. They lost a lot. But, I mean, I'm at the point where I really trust Mike Norvell in the transfer portal, more than anybody, in fact, in the country. And he's done it again. I mean, their scouting department, as far as the portal, is as good as anybody. A guy to keep an eye on, Marvin Jones Jr. at defensive end. I like Jalen Lucas as a, you know, kind of a utility player at slot, running back, wide receiver, returner. So, I'm laying the 10 here. That's a bet that I'll make at some point this week.
Okay. You laid 18.5 with SMU. That'd get up to 28. Nevada coming off back-to-back two-win seasons. The win total's low. They're going to be dreadful. SMU could be a sleeper in the ACC. Now we're seeing 25, something like that on the game. What do you think of SMU now with this point spread getting out of control?
Yeah, I made it pure. It's always numbers for me, 25.5, my pure number. So really not a bet at this point. I needed 28 to play back a little bit. Okay. Nevada on that original position. Not that the original position was big. I mean, it was available several months ago and I'm fired away. I thought it'd only go up. And that's been the case. I like Jeff Choate, that he's the new Nevada coach. He's pretty confident. I like that, but I don't like the talent level. They're off back to back their worst seasons in school history. And, you know, if you don't believe me that it's going to be a tough season, I mean, there's a reason why the win total is only 2.5 for Nevada, and they play 13 games in the regular season. SMU's getting a lot of love in the market. I was a part of it early. I think they're a little priced out now as far as win totals, but it was their best season in 40 years a year ago, and they're probably a little bit better this season. 16 returning starters for SMU. I'm not worried about this game. I think they win comfortably. But I worry about the grind of an ACC schedule when it's all said and done. But reasons for the movement, a couple market influencers like Nevada this week, and then SMU's injury report, three key guys in their two deep are going to be out. And then there's also this stipulation that looks like the backup quarterback Jennings is going to play some snaps. I'm okay with it. I mean, he's played a bunch of snaps. So I think it's a positive. If your backup comes in and you know they're going to be running some offense, that makes me want to back the favorite more.
Hey, Brett, I've heard a lot of people make the case for SMU to win the conference this year, but based on that little comment that you made right there, I'm guessing that you don't have a ticket on them?
I do not. I got to see it on the O-line, D-line. And look at the last couple of seasons. They've struggled when they had to step up. Now, kudos for them. They bury the teams they should. Nevada's going to be one of those teams, in my opinion, but boy, they couldn't handle BC last year in the bowl game, and BC's a lower-level ACC team.
So you mentioned you always have to be ready, and you never know what books are going to put up. You laid 4 in the summer at FanDuel with Montana State. They're laying double digits now against New Mexico. Mendenhall takes over. It's going to be a long year. You recommended over 1.5. Their win total is 1.5. But look at this now, how high this total. This is historic. This is the biggest point spread for an FCS against an FBS.
Yeah, we never had a double-digit favorite going back at least the last 10 years when the line's been more and more widely available as far as the FBS versus FCS market. But an FCS team has never been a double-digit favorite over an FBS team. And, you know, first thing that comes to my mind, well, how do, you know, FCS favorites do? And I even took it a step further. How does an FCS team do if they're like a three-point dog or less and are favored in the game? And not a big sample size, only 28 games, but they're 65% against the spread, covering by 4 points per game. I'm not a big trends guy, but boy, it's an outlier. So that raises my eyebrows a little bit. And look, I'm purely speculating, but I think there's maybe probably a discount on the FCS team in this scenario because the market just can't grasp an FCS team, a lower level team being favored. So look, it's got out there at 11.5 now. People want to know, would you still bet it? I would go up to 13.5. Not a big bet at this point, but I made it 13.5 on Montana State.
Wow. So you would need at least 14.5 to come back on New Mexico and try for a hedge, I'm guessing.
Yes, I would.
Yeah. How was the limit on that bet in the summer, laying 4?
A nickel.
Was it? Okay. So, not bad.
Yeah,
okay.
I'm getting nickels. So, I mean, I know your big money listeners are going to be like, oh, that's nothing. Your small guys are going to be like, oh, that's, you know, wonderful. But you know, I thought that was a fair bet to make.
Sure, Montana State and New Mexico in the summertime. No problem with that. Okay, how much stock are you putting it into Delaware State missing their flight to go out to Hawaii this week? Any at all?
Yeah, maybe a half point, a point. Okay. I think my pure number on that one's like 39.7, so no bet. Anxious to hear about the weather, though. Obviously, it's always windy there in Hawaii, but there's a storm that's not necessarily going to hit, but it could impact even more wind than usual there. So I might be interested in the total when it's all said and done. I'm also interested, where's this line go? I mean, obviously it's your typical bailout game for Hawaii, but there's nothing else going on. So I expect there to be some handle on this one.
That's a great point. Absolutely. And as we talked about earlier in the week, it always does big business, the get out game and Hawaii at home. And then with the fact that everyone knows about the missed flight, the only thing going on, I'm with you. I think it only goes up.
Yeah. You want to talk about, this is one that I'm crying that I didn't get. Apparently, you got to watch the screen at all times. People reached out to me. This FanDuel opened this one at 27.5. I did not get that. Oh. They there's a few people out there listening that took advantage of that one. I wasn't looking at the screen at that particular time.
Yeah. I'm curious how they operate with the game. You talked about the win there for a second. Like, Timmy Chang as the head coach, could you see like them just getting out? Because Delaware State is so bad. Could this be like 31-0 Hawaii to halftime, and then they just kind of call off the dogs afterwards?
Yeah, I mean, it could be the case. I will say this. I mean, I didn't, you know, deep diving Delaware State. This is a bottom five team at the FCS level. They played a pair of FBS teams last year and lost by a combined score of 119-20. So, I mean, and they didn't cover either game as a huge dog. So I need a lot to be betting Delaware State. But you're right. I mean, Hawaii does have UCLA on deck. That's one of their biggest home games ever.
Mm-hmm. On national TV, yeah.
I think they put away the starters really early if they get out to a big lead.
Yeah, that would not surprise me. Who knows? Delaware State might be so bad. The third stringers could maybe go for 3 different 80-yard drives as well. We'll continue with Brad Powers coming up next. Professional sports bettor. BradPowersSports.com is the website. Steve Spurrier had some sharp analysis on the SEC this year. Wait until you hear what he had to say about that conference coming up here on VSiN. We continue talking college football with professional sports bettor Brad Powers. He is on the Progressive Guest Line. Website is bradpowersports.com. A pretty significant move yesterday. LSU and USC, which is going to be out here next weekend in Las Vegas, Allegiant Stadium, going to be an unbelievable crowd. LSU, their fans, I think we're expecting like 30,000 people out here. So it was sitting 6.5 for a lot of the summertime. Crashed yesterday to LSU -4.5. Were you involved at all? Do you like any side in this game? Do you like the total at all? What are your thoughts on this game?
Yeah, I mean, first, and this is another line that's been up since January. So first, I laid six with LSU, and thought process was I just wasn't I thought it would go up because obviously people react to the quarterback position, Caleb Williams, losing the number one overall pick, and I didn't expect Lincoln Riley to fill out his defensive staff as well as he did. And I expected LSU to hit the portal, particularly at the defensive line, better than what they did. So made the bet in January, just sat on it because obviously I still had CLV. Not that I was wild about LSU, and I was just waiting to play back SC because I do think SC is the right side. I agreed with the move yesterday. I did take part in that when that line was moving. It was a market influencer that is a long-term winner that I trust about as much as anybody in this market. And I followed the lead there because it's not going back. I'll put it that way.
Oh, it's not going to. Even though like 30,000 people might come out here and hammer LSU all day long, that's not going to be good enough to move it back up?
I don't think so. No. But just there's a lot of – it's just not one influencer. It's a lot of guys that I trust that are very anti-LSU this season. So, and you know, other guys I trust are pretty pro-USC. So, I mean, again, you don't have to be Einstein. One plus – 1 = 3 in this one, where there was going to be SC money no matter what. There'll be SC money. Obviously, they're not a great fan base, but they'll be coming in from California wanting to bet SC. It'll do monster numbers. It'll be the highest handle game of week one.
Can you elaborate on that? That the most asked question you get every week is why did this line move? And maybe you should subscribe to some of these market influencers. Can you take us through that?
Yeah, so, I mean, I do get asked. I mean, it's every week during the season. Hey, why did this move? Is there an injury in this game? What's going on? And I mean, 75% of the time, at least, and I'm being conservative, it's just a market influencer releasing plays. I mean, the market moves so quickly now. It's not, people releasing on game day. It's all throughout the week at all different times. And look, if you want to be serious about this industry and want to know why stuff moves, then I think you should be subscribed to the services. Now, I'll say this, I'll get some flack on this, but I think 90-some% should never buy picks. You just shouldn't. You don't have the bankroll to do it, so don't do it. But if you're serious, and I would say you have a $50,000 bankroll at minimum or higher, and you can afford it, why wouldn't you want to understand the market a little bit more and you want to be serious about making money? Whether you like that person or not, I mean, you could, take advantage of maybe a little bit market overcorrection on a line move from that release. I don't understand the hate. If it's somebody that's a long-term winner that impacts the market like a few guys do, I just don't understand. If you're somebody with big pockets, why you wouldn't be purchasing it?
Sure. Good answer. Okay. So I want to play this audio for you. Steve Spurrier, the old ball coach. Some good analysis on the SEC this year as he was asked to kind of forecast the league.
I'm going to pick Alabama to win the SEC. Really? Yeah. I like Jalen DeBoer, and I think their players and their team will say, we don't need our coach to win. We're good enough to win by ourselves. And this guy's a hell of a coach, Jalen DeBoer, and I think they got a schedule they can work with. But that'd be a huge game. I think they do play Texas early. Is that correct? Okay. Yeah, but obviously, they're Georgia, Texas, and Alabama are the top three, and I just think maybe Alabama will be the team to do it this year. And I'm gonna pick the Gators to finish somewhere around fifth or sixth, win between 8 and 10 games, maybe 9, something like that. I think we have a lot of good players, and if we can beat Miami the first game and develop some confidence that we are good enough to win, and now let's go do it. Maybe that'll sustain us throughout the course of the season.
That's some pretty good stuff right there. Jalen DeBoer, that's good. Not his name. Texas doesn't play Alabama, in fact. And then what would it take for you to envision Florida? It's one of the most difficult schedules I've ever seen in my entire life to win between 8 and 10 games.
Multiple opposing starting quarterbacks to be out. due to injury. I mean, they're significant underdogs in a lot of these games. I mean, I'm talking 2 touchdowns plus in quite a few of them. So just not going to happen. I mean, there's a reason why, win total's 4.5 in some spots.
Yeah.
I do agree with him. The Miami game is everything. You want to talk about a swing game.
Yeah.
That's everything. There's a book out there offering first coach to be fired. If I'll give you a little nugget. If they keep that up on game day next week, the bet I would love to make is, you know, if that, depending on that 3:30 game between Miami and Florida, how that's going, the loser of that game becomes the favorite to be fired first. That's how important that game is.
I agree. Well said. What was the Georgia Tech thing he threw in there too? That was weird. You're Notre Dame guy, what do you think of A&M up to 3?
Yeah, I mean, it makes sense. I mean, A&M's best strength is their defensive front. Been that way all fall camp. Obviously, Elko is a defensive-minded coach, plays into that. And Notre Dame's greatest weakness, at least this year, is, you know, believe it or not, the offensive line. Been a team strength for a decade, but they already lost both tackles early in the draft. And then their presumed starting left tackle goes down to injury for this out for the season. It looks like they're going to be starting a true freshman. He's not a 5-star. He's actually a 3-star. He's only like 6'4", 290. It just does not scream well, that particular matchup for Notre Dame. So agree with the Texas A&M money.
You have the market cornered for the group of five team that makes the playoff. What's your pick now? And is it a big deal that Nelson got beat out with Boise?
Yeah, so, I mean, I treated that. I mean, we all know one team from the group of five is going to make it. So I treated it like it's a separate market, like it's self-entity, like a conference future portfolio. So I bet the five or six teams that I thought were most likely out of the group of five to make the playoff, adjusted what I bet on each one, shot for the best number. And if any one of these five or six teams makes the playoff, I make money. So I would recommend doing that moving forward with that market. The team that I like the best to come out is Boise State. You know, obviously Liberty deserves to have the highest win total. I just don't think there's any room for error. I think if Liberty loses one game, they're out.
Mm-hmm.
Boise State's got a tougher schedule. They're allowed to lose to a team like Oregon, but they get key games like Washington State and Oregon State at home, games that they're going to be favored in. But those would be two, you know, nice feathers in their cap as far as a portfolio. I didn't really downgrade them Malachi Nelson news. It's not ideal as far as a ceiling. Like if you'd have played up to his potential, I would have, you know, liked Boise State at least in those high leverage games more. But they like this Madsen, held it, and it's not some new thing. They liked him last year. I mean, he was starting at some points in the season over Taylen Green, who's going to be the starting quarterback again for Arkansas this year. So I think they're fine. That Boise State's still the clear cut favorite in the Mountain West, and I get them favored in 11 of their 12 games.
Brad, which group of five team do you not have a ticket on then to make the playoffs that kind of scares you the most?
That's a good question. South Florida, just because I think that they got a very high ceiling with the talent level. We saw it when they beat Syracuse by 45 in the bowl game. So that would be the one that stands out to me.
How about the prop at South Point, Georgia, Ohio State against the field?
Yeah, early lean would have been on the field there, even though obviously I got Georgia and Ohio State 1-2 in my power ratings with a little bit of margin. But that margin between the top teams and the rest of college football has shrunk in the last few years. And so I certainly lean the field, but didn't get to the window on that one. Cause I do think I would be surprised if Georgia or Ohio State didn't win it.
Okay. Did you downgrade Texas at all with the news that their top two running backs are going to be out for the year?
About a half a point. I was already down, comparatively speaking, in the market on Texas. Bet under the win,
that's
total
right.
Bet against them in several game of the years. Took Oklahoma against them, took Texas A&M against them. So I was already pretty down. I didn't want to over-adjust. I mean, it is a running back position that's not key in college football anymore. But I just – look, they lost their top four pass catchers from last year. I think the biggest loss for Texas is those two guys that made them different from the previous 15 Texas teams was those two interior defensive linemen that went high in the draft. I mean, just – I don't trust Sark yet, even though he had a great season.
Right.
I mean, he obviously won at Alabama, huge win. But then the next two most important games where they were favored against Oklahoma and they were favored against Washington, he lost them outright.
Mm-hmm.
What did you get in that game? I saw you on with Tim Murray and you were kind of like embarrassed, but you didn't. What did you get in Oklahoma, Texas?
10.5.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Strong.
Well, there you go.
Hey, that was a game that was up in February.
Okay.
Wild.
Yeah.
All right.
And again, you don't have to come on. Just look at the series history.
Yep.
I mean, you can't be laying double digits there.
Sure. Awesome stuff, Brad.
Thank
we
you.
Love talking to you. Have a good weekend. Okay.
Hey, take care, guys. Thanks for having me.
Appreciate you.
Brad Powers on the Progressive Guest Line. BradPowersSports.com is the website.
Great newsletter too.
Oh yes. Tremendous newsletter.
Follow on X.
Up next, Mike Palm, VP, Circa Resort and Casino, is going to join us in studio. How big will the overlay be in Circa Millions? And will Survivor touch 11,000 plus entries? We'll find out next here on VSiN.